Thanks for joining us today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Ann Crane.
And our host, as always, is psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan, today we will be hearing the second half of a story we started yesterday with special guests John and Donna Ramstead. John suffered a horrific horseback riding accident, actually at the same ranch and on the very same weekend that your dad had his riding accident.
It was such a crazy coincidence,
Luann.
But I tell you, all of us here at Family Talk have heard their story, and we were all praying as John's life was truly in danger.
Well, it was pretty touch and go there for a while, Ryan. But as we heard last time, John's life was spared, even though he's had lots of complicated surgeries following that. If our listeners missed the first half of our conversation with this amazing couple, let me say you really do need to get caught up.
And we don't have time to recap that part of the story we've already covered, but you can request a CD or download the podcast of this two-day conversation and listen online at drjamesdobson.org. For now, we're going to pick up this discussion about halfway through as my dad asked John what happened at the hospital after the incident.
And quickly, before we begin, let me add that Donna and John have been married for 20 years, and they have three sons. They even live just up the road from us in Denver, Colorado. So here now on this Family Talk broadcast is our host, Dr. James Dobson.
John, as we were completing our program last time, I had mentioned that you had to go through brain surgery,
that they removed
a large portion of your skull and actually lifted your brain.
Yeah.
Because the accident and the force of hitting that steel fence had compressed your brain. Describe what you have been through medically.
Well, the first 3 days in the hospital, and it turned out, and I think this was God's timing, was my boys were there for the first 2 days, and they got to see their dad, you know, doing pretty well, for, you know, other than all the physical damage. And then a friend of ours drove them back down to Colorado. It was the day after they left that I just fell off a cliff. My pain was consistently in my reports. I was describing between an 8 and a 10. My brain had started swelling. And then I started leaking cranial sacral fluid through my nose, which meant that the floor of the brain had been fractured.
It's compromised.
And compromised, and the brain, you know, the fluid around the brain was coming out where it's not supposed to be. And that's scary for two reasons, because then the bacteria from that sinus area can go up into the brain, and that's really bad if you get either meningitis or a, was it staph or infection?
Strep blood infection.
And I ended
up
getting
meningitis, couldn't go into encephalitis.
Yeah. So they were very concerned, and so they had to go in and do the first surgery. So they made an incision from ear to ear over the top of my head, and they took that piece of bone that held basically the quarter of the skull from the top of my skull down through my eyebrow ridge. They took that off, and what they did is they removed part of the sinuses. It's really amazing what they could do. They removed part of the sinuses, drained the fluids, and repaired four fractures in the base of my skull and replaced the dura, which is the lining around the brain. I didn't even know they could do all these things. And they did all that in one surgery. And then they bolted the piece of bone back on with some titanium plates. And they had to repair there was a lot of damage above the left eyebrow where I'd impacted the fence. Mm. They had to repair that also.
And then, John, you show almost none of that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your hair looks normal. The eye that you lost tracks with the other eye.
Yeah.
And you can't tell that you are blind in one eye. And they're getting ready to replace a few teeth. And that's going to finish it off. You look great.
Yeah. I do have to have one more eye surgery. The eye socket was so damaged in multiple areas that they have to go in and completely rebuild the left eye socket so that this left eye does stay healthy over time.
How long were you in the hospital altogether?
A month in Montana, a week at Craig Hospital down here in Denver. So I guess 5 weeks, and then a week in between Montana and Craig. So I was really bedridden for 6 weeks, and then it was probably I wasn't doing anything much more than getting up and using the restroom or some food for really the first month I was an outpatient at Craig. So really 2 months I was just basically in a bed, and my body and muscles and everything atrophied tremendously. I was really surprised, and I'm working with a physical therapist now just to try to get some energy back.
How many pounds have you lost?
25, 30 pounds, something like that.
You still don't have your appetite back much.
Yeah, I still, it's not too bad. I'm still not hungry like I used to be, which is probably a good thing.
What was the presence of the Lord like for each of you during this time? Did you feel abandoned? Did you feel alone? Did you feel somehow angry at God for allowing this to happen? This is a freaky thing to take place. Shouldn't have happened, but it did.
I think all of the above. I think I've definitely been through the whole range of emotions through this whole thing. I mean, we always pray for each other's safety, so we had prayed for John's safety before he went on his trip and while, the night before. So I guess it was very painful for the boys and I to realize that even though we had prayed for his safety, this accident still happened.
Kind of shook you, didn't it? Mm.
It did. But, I have to put in a plug for your book. You had given John 2 copies of When God Doesn't Make Sense the night before his accident, which I don't think was was an accident.
Is that right?
That's a God thing. And I read that while we were in Montana in the hospital, and I've reread it several times since, and it's really helped me a lot. I really recommend it for anyone going through any kind of challenge like this where the circumstances just don't make sense.
Yeah.
And
that's the theme of the book. In those situations where you cannot make the pieces fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk to theologians for the rest of the year, and you can read every book in the Bible, and you can pray continually, and for a time and probably till eternity, you won't get it figured out.
Right.
You will not answer what God is doing. And the interesting thing is he doesn't tell you.
Right.
He doesn't tell you what he's doing. And if you doubt that, read the book of Job. Job asked these marvelous questions, and he never got a one of them answered.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the scripture says, who are you to ask?
Right.
I'm God. Were you there when I created the universe? And so what he wants from us at that point is not figuring it all out, because if he'd wanted you to do that, he'd have given you more information. He simply wants you to keep going. Keep your faith. Keep your trust. Depend on him. Walk one day at a time, and he will walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you experience that?
Definitely. Definitely. And I think the most important thing is just to keep the lines of communication open. I think I heard something years ago in a Bible study that God knows if you're angry, you can't fool him.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to pretend everything is fine, tell him. And so on those rough days, I would say, I'm really angry. I don't understand this. I'm so frustrated. But just to keep the lines of communication go, because the most dangerous thing you can do for yourself, for your faith, is to close off from God, shut yourself off from God.
And you need him more than any other time.
Definitely.
And you can't walk away from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Because there's no other answer.
Right.
John,
we had this conversation, too, with our boys, because they had the same doubts that Donna had. Hey, we just prayed for Dad, and he just had his head smashed in, and we don't know if he's going to live. This is really frustrating. So we took your book, and we read the scriptures about you just can't know God's ways. You can't know his thoughts. But what I do know is that he loves us so much that he sent his own son.
Yeah.
To come for us. So imagine that, guys. God, I can't explain this. God doesn't promise us an explanation, but God promises to walk with us through the pain. And if he loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and there I was laying on the ground, and Jesus Christ, I'm a very, as we all are, but flawed, sinful person. I have all my idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. And to come and realize, Dr. Dobson, that Christ has been with me every step of the way my whole life. And then right when something tragic happens, I mean, he could have prevented it. He didn't. He could have allowed me to see out of my eye. He didn't. But what he did do is he prevented me from being a quadriplegic. He prevented me from losing my personality. And to realize that the Lord of the universe, who made everything, is there and loves me so passionately, so personally, that he was right there and put his hand on me when I needed it.
Yeah.
And he talks about in Scripture that his relationship with the church is like a marriage, right? You know, how I should love Donna and serve her, right? That's the kind of relationship he wants with me, is the same kind of love and friendship and honor and respect I have with Donna for 22 years.
Now, John, what the Lord did for you through this experience is made you bolder in witnessing for your love for the Lord. You've been telling everybody that'll listen. Mm.
Yeah, you can't shut me up now, Doctor.
Donna's over here nodding. You must have seen that, huh?
Is this a change? Were you this way before? Were you bold in sharing your faith? Were you sharing it at all?
What? I heard your broadcast with Hugh Hewitt.
Yes.
On the embarrassed Christian.
Yeah.
The son, I call him the frozen chosen, or the Sunday morning Christian, and that was absolutely me. I was telling Dr. Dobson that there was a former colleague of mine who's very, very liberal, homosexual. I would have never in a million years shared my faith with him because I knew that he would have been offended, so I wouldn't have brought it up. It wouldn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Well, he called me recently and wanted to just see how I'm doing. So I told him about the accident. I told him what happened. And I told him about Christ putting his hand on me and what I felt and what he did for me and what it means to know him and the kind of love that he wants to share. And once I shared that, I was quiet. And it was literally 20 seconds. And I didn't know what his reaction was going to be. And he sincerely thanked me for sharing that to him. And he told me that he's got something to think about. And you know what? I realized, especially listening to your broadcast, but I've literally probably told hundreds and hundreds of people in person.
Well, you've witnessed to the doctors and the nurses and the orderlies and anybody that would listen to you.
Everybody, you know, everybody that's come in or to my house to deliver us a meal, or every doctor I've talked to, every, you know, CPA and attorney that I, you know, work with, I've shared with them that story, whether they're Christian, Jewish, atheist, whatever their background. You know what? Because, you know, who's going to get offended at the guy with the brain injury, first of all, right? I figure you know, they're not going to say, I got a captive audience. Mm-hmm. And I think God has really given me a powerful testimony because it's part of the story. But, you know, I think about when I came to know the Lord 15 years ago, and then I kind of fell away from just that close relationship from early on because I came to the realization that what I would do is I would set out, what's John's goals, right? I'd do my annual goal setting, and I'd lay it out there, and I'd say, okay, Lord, what do you think of this? Come alongside me and help me get this done. And guess what? It didn't always happen, surprise. And sometimes, you know, I'd be a little frustrated, like, Lord, you know, I prayed about this, and, you know, I go to church, and I feel, what I never did was say, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Where do you want me to walk? And please equip me and develop my character so that I can do your work in your will in this earth. And it has completely changed and shifted my thinking.
Donna, was the Lord close to you in the same way? Did you learn anything through this process? Are you different? Have you changed because of it?
Definitely. I think that you just get busy with daily life. I think you just to start to take things for granted. And it's really given me not only a closer walk with God, but an appreciation for little things. And I don't know, you know, you just see people getting upset, frustrated at all these little things. And when you've been through something like this, you realize what's really important.
Doctor, I think it strikes me that I feel like we're sitting across from a couple of newlyweds here. These two are obviously very much in love, holding hands and grinning at each other the whole time. Oh, there's a kiss. See what I mean? And yet, Donna, we just know so often that when trauma comes into a marriage, it does the opposite. It divides them. It separates, even leads to divorce. Why did that not occur? It actually did the opposite for you two.
Well, I think number one, primarily, we have Christ at the center of our marriage. So
you can't underestimate that.
It's not just about John and me. And I don't know. I just never had any question. No matter what the outcome was going to be, we're husband and wife till death do us part. And if that meant that I was going to have to care for someone in a wheelchair, or you know, we were going to have to move to a handicapped accessible house, or whatever, it's not a negotiable contract in my mind. And so, anything other than sticking together and working this and seeing this through with each other and with our boys and with God was not an option.
She's such a special lady, isn't she?
Yeah, you know, she is.
I didn't think I'd be crying all day down here. Well, I got to tell you, Lynn, being married to Donna is such a blessing. You just heard the heart of somebody who's amazing. You know, she is every day makes my life better and the life of our boys. So I thank you, hon.
Mm-hmm. We have a word for it that's really kind of sterile. It doesn't really have the emotion that you just put into what you said. But the word is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is for life.
Right.
This is it. Till death do us part. Mm-hmm. And that's what you just expressed. And you can deal with anything if you come at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel that way, you know what? The hardest problems and challenges in a marriage, you can get through and you work through because you know that your partner is going to be there on the other side of that conflict. Yeah. And if you doubt that that's going to be there, I can't imagine. We've gone through some really hard things. Yeah. Just being married 22 years, just relationship ebb and flows and highs and lows of business and finances and things like this. And it's been tough, but you know what? We've always gotten through it. But I've always known that divorce is not even an option, period. And so does she. So when things are rocky in the relationship, you know what? We work harder. We work on ourselves. And if we both come to the conclusion, if we can both work on ourselves but be pointing toward God, that's going to draw us back together in a relationship, you know, that's healthy, and moves us toward a goal that God's put in front of us as a family, and that has always kept us, what I call our true north.
Getting back to when God doesn't make sense, and to that moment when you and I were sitting on horses, and mm-hmm. neither one of us had been injured yet, and in a few minutes you were near death. And the next day, I very easily could have died too because mm-hmm. I'm on Coumadin.
Yeah.
You know, I had a heart attack 21 years ago and I take a blood thinner. If I'd hit my head, if I'd had a brain injury, I wouldn't have survived it. I would have bled out right there. And instead, I fell on a gun and that broke my shoulder, but it also broke my fall. Now, why did the Lord protect my brain and did not protect yours? I don't know. There's no explanation for that except God is working out his plan for your life in one way and my plan for mine in the other. And I hope the people that are listening to us today who have gone through some pretty horrendous things, some have lost a child, mm-hmm. some have cancer and are dying now, some are going through terribly difficult things, and everybody asks the question, why? Why, God? Why would you do this? Well, every human being that's ever lived, if they've got any ability to comprehend at all, has asked that question. Jesus asked it. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Jesus on the cross said, my God, why? Mm-hmm. We all ask why.
And he asked God to take the pain away, the cup away
yes.
from him.
And what the Lord wants us to do is just open the hand and say, okay, Lord, I'm going with you. Tell me what to do next. Walk with me. And you did that, John. And it's why I admire you so much, because you could have been one bitter man, losing an eye, having your face broken, 20, 25 fractures on your face, and going through all this surgery, and now a couple of years for your brain to recover, you could easily have been very angry at God. But instead, you began telling everybody you knew about it. That's faith. Yeah. That's trust. And that's remarkable.
Thank you, doctor. It was interesting you say that. It was early on, and I can't remember where I was reading in the Bible, but I've been trying to – it's hard for me to read with the one eye and everything. But what I would do was read a little bit of the Bible each day. And I came to the realization, I think God just put it on my heart, that you can wake up and you can make a choice to be happy and look at the incredible blessings. I got an amazing wife. I got three boys. I'm not as bad as it could have been. Right, like Barry said, I've been blinded so I can see. He's renewed my faith. He's brought my I felt Jesus for personally.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to wake up and make the best of today and use today as a witness to this God who loves me, who saved my life. Because the other road, even contemplating it, is so dark and it leads to such a bad place that even just considering where that path goes, I just absolutely couldn't go there because I know people that have gone there. Mm-hmm. And it is a bitter, dark place. And you know what? There's this is a it's a short life we have. And then we're going to be with God for eternity and be able to worship him. And I, you know what? I just, after he touched me personally, I don't know if this is kind of odd to say, but you know, I want to make him proud of me. I really do. I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, help me my day today make you proud. Help my thought life, my words that come out of my mouth, glorify you, make you proud, to make me deserve what you've done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know that your words are definitely speaking to someone today, John. Mm-hmm. There's ministry going on right now. I mean, perhaps somebody listening is in the middle of dealing with a catastrophic injury or they've gotten that nightmare call in the middle of the night. They can't really see how you can have such hope and peace. Speak to that person right now who is in the thick of that darkness. What would you say to them?
You know, I think even if you haven't felt the personal touch of Jesus on your life, what I would tell you is look over to your left. He's sitting right there next to you right now. He loves you with all his heart, without any conditions, without any preconceived notion. And he is the great healer, and he can take care of all of your needs. What I would encourage you to do is turn toward him, talk with him like you would talk to your wife or your husband or your best friend. Invite Jesus into your life to help you, to get you through this. And I would turn toward people that know Jesus and sit down over coffee with somebody and have them help you make sense of this all. Because, you know, sometimes there is no answer. Sometimes you just have to get through the pain today. Sometimes you don't understand why. And sometimes it's hard not knowing why. But at the end of the day, it will get better, and Christ will walk you to that better place, even, you know, with absolute certainty. He will do that. He has promised he'll do that. He'll do that for you, and he loves you, and I just want you to just have peace in your heart because of what Christ has done for us.
John, you strike me as a man who doesn't cry very often.
Is
that correct? You've had tears running down your cheeks.
Only when I watch Old Yeller, you know. Or Balto. I hate when dogs die.
Tears for an hour off and on. And that's because it's really coming from your heart, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so.
Well, I know it was not easy for you to come down from Denver, but thank you for being with us. And God is using what you have said today. I love you both.
Love you too, Doctor.
Okay.
Thank you.
What an amazing message of love and hope from an incredible couple today. And Luann, we want to make sure our listeners know that the same God who rescued John and Donna can rescue them today too.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, here at Family Talk, we would consider it an honor to help them learn more about what that means. If you do not yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ and feel like you're drowning in the struggles of your life, please give us a call today. Mm-hmm. We would love to talk with you, pray with you. Our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Or you can connect with us at drjamesdobson.org. And if you are already a Christian, but you're going through one of those hard times and you're just not sure where God is or what he's doing, we'd like to offer you my dad's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense.
It's an excellent book for every library, Ryan. I've read it. I highly recommend it. You can request it at drjamesdobson.org, or once again, that number to call, 877-732-6825. We really do want to put an arm around you and your family if you're going through a dark time right now.
Luann, that is why we are all here at Family Talk. Our listeners, I just want to say thank you for spending this part of your day with us.
And we hope you have a restful weekend with your family, and hope to see you right back here on Monday for more of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.